This is Molly Poggles. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all of our daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit our website, lgfoursquare.com, lg4square.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lgfoursquare.com. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Barnabas Project. Today is our weekly interview. How are you guys doing in here today?
Awesome. Great.
We got a group of four people in here today. On my left, I got
Sam. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Straight in front of me, I got
hello there. This is Pastor Cameron.
And our subject of the interview today is Mrs. Aaron Ones.
Wow, I should be honest. Aaron
in the house.
So, to give you a little background, Aaron Ones is the keyboard slash singer on our worship team. Sometimes she leads worship. She is a big part of the family here today. So if you don't know her name, you know her face. And she is in the studio today to give her testimony. So, Aaron, we are really excited and happy to have you in here with us today. I personally love you very much, and I'm glad you're here. So, you were sort of telling us a little bit about your story before we press play, but I want to sort of take us back to your childhood and kind of get a grip on who Aaron was then and then take us to who Aaron is now.
Mm. Who Aaron was then?
Little baby Aaron.
Well, I had a triple chin. I should have brought a baby. I should have brought my baby picture because it is hilarious. Like, I show it to people and they can't even look at it. They just start busting up laughing.
That was a missed opportunity.
Well, pictures are not always a hit on podcasts.
I know. Sorry, guys. I was over 11 pounds when I was born.
Nice. I was a 10-pound baby. Yeah, big babies.
Ooh. I know. I feel so bad for my mom.
A couple of fatties over here.
And now I'm like...
blames a lot.
I'm embarrassed.
And now I'm like short and
me too.
Stuff.
And that's when people are like, well, they're in the 70th percentile. I'm like, well, just we don't always know what that means. Because I was... I was in the 99th percentile or whatever, like huge baby, tall. And now I just,
how is it that the homeschoolers are the cool kids in the room?
I don't know. I'm kind of lost right now.
What? Whatever. No. Okay. Getting this off track.
Real missed opportunity there, Sean. Should have, whatever.
Okay. All right. So me as a, not a baby, as a little girl. So I was really adventurous. And I just remember like having a wild imagination. I remember playing by myself a lot. So I grew up in a family of four girls and I was the middle young. Mm. And so my two older sisters, they would often like play together and I was just kind of off by myself.
Is there a big age gap?
We were all about 2 to 3 years apart from each other. My younger sister and I are closer to 4 years apart. I guess you could call us an Italian family because my dad's full Italian. So that was pretty cool to, you know, like family reunions, we would have a lot of fun. Like it was just this big group of Italian people that were just like throwing pasta on the wall.
I was going to say, you ate lasagna, didn't you?
Oh yeah. Like it was the bomb.
Actually, I've had some of your lasagna, haven't I?
I don't know if you've actually had the lasagna. I was going to make it one time, but then it didn't work out.
Is it for real? Is it like
so you
the
have
real
not,
real?
You would remember it if you had it. Sorry. Gotta brag there. Family recipes. Oh, come on. Yeah.
Wow. Sounds legit.
Wow.
Sounds a little legit. Cocky here. No.
Oh my gosh. I want some lasagna right now.
But yeah, I remember at one of our reunions, like we would make the biggest meatballs and we would have meatball eating competitions. And my uncle literally ate 22 meatballs and he did not throw up. And I'm like, what? This is crazy. So yeah, good times.
What's your maiden last name?
Marinelli.
Marinelli.
Which I actually thought that was really unique for a long time. And then I heard that it's actually kind of like the Smith of Italy.
Oh, really?
So it's a really common last name. Oh. I thought I was related to all these people. And then I was like, oh.
My family is huge. Wow. See, it's not. Oh, Martinelli. Martinelli's the cider.
Yeah.
Cider.
I like to try to take credit of the cider because people sometimes miss the tea. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, my family like invented the cider. And just kidding. But anyway, so yeah. So growing up, you know, being Italian, I did kind of feel like our family was a little different, you know, like it just kind of felt like that. Like I had the big, like curly hair and none of my friends really had that. And like, I kind of just always felt a little bit like different from everybody else. And I realized that, you know, we never like faced really like intense discrimination or anything. There's a few times where, you know, like in the airport or something, there would be something that would happen or, but you know, it was nothing like intense, thankfully. But yeah, that always kind of stuck with me as a kid. So I do remember like my two older sisters, especially my older sister, kind of like picking on me a lot. And I don't know if it was just fun for her, but she would just like, if I went near her, she would just like say something mean or like punch me. And then I realized now that I'm older that it was really hard, like just constantly hearing like badgering names. And yeah, so that was kind of tough. And then I remember my parents didn't really get along much. So that was kind of hard because it just always felt like there's like discord and just fighting a lot of the time. And I just remember like, you know, playing on my own a lot, just trying to avoid, you know, being around that. So my house was pretty rambunctious. Like there was always a lot going on. Like most all of us were like really into music and different activities. So, you know, one person would be like playing the piano and then the other person would be watching TV. And then like, you know, there'd be fighting and my older sister would be like blaring Metallica out of her bedroom. And, you know, it was just like noise all the time. And
was there a faith in your home?
So I was really close with my grandma, who was a believer, and she would take us kids and my mom to church. My dad was a Catholic, but he didn't go to church. So I did start to learn at a young age, you know, about God. And I just remember like, I think I was like 7. So I always just believed in God. Like I just knew he was real. And I remember one time I dropped a knife on my foot and it actually like kind of cut my foot and was like bleeding, not terribly, but just, you know, a little bit. And I just had this big faith. I was like, you know, God, I really believe in you. And I kind of just like wanted to like see him work his miracles. And I was like, would you just heal my foot? And then like, I looked back down, it was healed.
Wow.
And he just like healed it right there. And I was like, whoa, that was so cool. And so I just have always had that childlike faith.
Yeah. Mm.
And I don't know for sure when I actually accepted Jesus into my heart, but I think it was like around that same time. Mm-hmm. But like in my home, there was always like a little bit of confusion. Like I wasn't really sure where my family members were at with their faith. It wasn't something we talked about. Yeah. And I just remember like really being involved with a lot of activities. I did a lot of sports, did a lot with music. Like I remember with my dad, you know, our relationship was pretty good, but it was like, you know, he would often, like when we did spend time together, it'd be like, you know, going to pitching lessons. He was my softball coach at times and he would like catch for me in the backyard and like hit us fly balls and taught me some music. So like, so this is kind of cool. Before I had played the piano at all, you know, he just is really gifted with music and he learned music by ear. And so he actually taught himself how to play Four Elise on the piano by ear. And then he taught me how to play it. So that was like the first time I played the piano and, you know, I could like kind of play it a little bit. I was pretty young, like 6 or 7. And then, you know, as I grew older, I like would keep trying to play that song and eventually I could play it by memory also. But then they started me on piano lessons. So that was really awesome to be able to do that as a kid.
How old were you when you started to play piano?
I was like 6, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we thank them for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a blessing to us.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I continued with piano lessons like almost through high school.
Was that your primary instrument of choice or were you playing other things too?
That was my primary instrument. My dad did play guitar a little bit, which I remember kind of tinkering around on it, but never really like got into it. Mm. So I've always done music and, you know, growing up in elementary school, I was always involved with music and continued with like choir and band in high school. I actually then continued playing the piano and we had a jazz band. And so I actually played the piano for the jazz band.
Mm, cool.
Which was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
nice thing about playing for a jazz band is you don't really have to hit any of the right notes.
Yeah, no.
You just play whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of true. But you then, you
feel,
know,
feel the
there are some that are like, don't quite fit. It's like, what's that person doing?
No, okay. Yeah, there's reason there's good jazz musicians.
There's better notes to hit than others, but I mean, yeah, you're kind of right. You have a lot of freedom.
I love jazz music though.
Yeah. One of my favorite jazz pianists is Thelonious Monk. You heard of him? He's amazing.
I've heard of him, but I don't know how I would have heard of him.
Why? Why do you like him?
his style, he comes up with these just crazy creative ideas that are off the wall, and like his rhythm is on point. Mm.
Do you have a song of his that you like particularly?
Not necessarily, just the style.
Yeah.
I picked up on, but yeah. And then, so also in high school, we had a jazz choir, so I was in that too. And then in band, I was in symphonic band and played percussion instruments. So that was pretty fun. I got to just learn a bunch of different things. Cool. And then I was in acapella choir. So I just did a lot of activities. Like I was involved, you know, in the night at sports. Like I was a really competitive softball pitcher and did pitching lessons. And yeah, I would like get really into it.
Would you say that was your focus in middle school and high school? Like that's what got you through school? Were you studious? Also? Oh, yes.
I was also very studious. Mm. So I was always like really hard on myself. Like I had to really achieve and like do well at everything. Mm. And that was my driving force. And I think that came from growing up, just feeling that pressure to like achieve. And like, I would get affirmation for doing that from like my parents and stuff. And so it's like, that felt good. You know, like that was sort of what replaced any lack of love in my family. So I just learned that early on and kind of became a perfectionist also, like in an unhealthy way. So yeah, so I continued just like always feeling like I needed to get good grades and like really pushing myself. Yeah. Well, I also remember having a really close childhood friend, and like, she was kind of like I kind of made her like my anchor, you know, like our friendship. Like I just like put everything into our friendship, and we hung out a lot, and I kind of like would go to her house to like avoid like conflicts at my house, that kind of thing. And then I remember we got in high school, and then she like left me for like these cooler kids. And I just like felt totally ditched. I was just like, what? And so that was actually really hard for me, because I mean, it was the first time I like really felt alone. Like I was just like, whoa, I feel like I don't really have anybody, you know. It just kind of like hit me. And going into high school, you know, also everything else that comes with that. And so I remember going through my freshman year, you know, just trying to get a feel for everything. I was kind of one of those kids that I like to make jokes and like make people laugh. And I think I used humor to avoid conflict too, and just try to like lighten the mood if it ever got heavy, that kind of thing. Which humor can be used as a, you know, it can be used in a good way. So I'm finding that right now, like learning how to use it in a healthy way and not to like avoid problems. So I was a really joyful kid. I made a lot of friends, but I remember not having like a lot of close friends, you know, and I was really busy, like trying to get good grades and, you know, doing everything. I was kind of prideful, you know. I took pride in like succeeding and all that stuff. And I just kind of felt like, man, all my friends like are hooking up with people, and I'm the only one that doesn't have a boyfriend. Like that's the only thing I can't check off my list, that kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I ended up getting a boyfriend, you know, going into it wasn't like a healthy mindset or anything. Yeah. And I didn't even know that much about him. Like it was just kind of weird how we hooked up. But anyway,
how old were you at this time?
I was 15.
15.
Mm. Yeah. I was like this little innocent 15-year-old, and it was not a good relationship. Like I was such a people pleaser that I just like went along with everything, even though I didn't like it. And like, it was just not good. And I was actually with him for 2 years, which was a long time considering 4 years of high school.
Yeah.
So that was just not good. But I never got into like the drug and alcohol scene or that kind of thing. And like looking back, you know, like God did protect me in a lot of ways, but I just like didn't learn how to speak up for myself or like put up boundaries. So this is kind of interesting. So in high school, I would go to church camp. And so that was just an awesome experience every
Where'd you go?
Summer. Camp Crestview, which I think is the one you guys go to. And then I did go to Wild Horse Canyon camp a couple times. So my...
Not Wild Horse Casino.
Yeah.
Good catch.
But yeah, every time I went to camp, like God just, you know, spoke to me in powerful ways. Like, cool. I mean, you guys know how camp is. Oh, yeah.
And it's even powerful for counselors.
Oh man, I'd go without students.
Totally.
Yeah. So
I'd even be better without students. Just kidding. Love students, but you all get it.
You're a handful.
So my junior year, I was still with my boyfriend, and I went to camp, and God just like really spoke to me that time. He was like, you have to break up with your boyfriend. And I was like, you're right. Like, I just feel so like claustrophobic. And I didn't like realize how damaging the relationship was for me until I actually did break up with him. But I was also really scared to break up with him because he was like obsessed with me. Like I honestly thought he might kill himself if I broke up with him. Like that's the kind of thing. And I was just like, I'm so scared. And so I remember when I got back, I was trying to think about how I was going to break up with him. And then my dad like knocked my door and he was like, hey, I want to talk to you. And then he told me that him and my mom were going to get a divorce. And so I was just like, whoa. So it was a lot, but God, I mean, he was in it. Like looking back now, you know, you would think like, whoa, why would that happen like that? You know, like why would God allow me to go through that and have to like, you know, stand up for myself when all that's going on? And looking back, like he knew I could do it. And he was kind of like testing my faith and trust in him. Cause I knew he had spoken to me at camp and I heard his voice. And so I knew what I needed to do. And so I was like, no, I, this is what I have to do. And I mean, it was one of the most courageous moments of my life. And so I did it. And thankfully he did not kill himself. It's like for anyone, but, but yeah, that was just like a hard relationship. Cause I remember like he would, my boyfriend would like tell me he loved me. And I'd never really heard that growing up. Like we just didn't like connect in that way as a family. Like that just wasn't a thing.
You
that
connected through meatballs.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, meatballs and pasta against the wall. Outside of camp, did you have an ongoing relationship with God? Like, were you plugged into a youth group? Did you have any mentors or people guiding you in your faith?
Yes, but I didn't go to youth group consistently. I would go like occasionally, you know, and then there was a older lady from my church that had a girls group. And so me and the sister right above me would go to that. And it was just a small group of high school girls.
Awesome.
And it was really awesome. I learned so much from her and it was huge.
Yeah. It's always good to have that mentor around to sort of just keep you on the tracks.
Yeah. Cause even if you are hearing the quote unquote right things from mom and dad, like the godly things from mom and dad, it still doesn't always land like it does from a mentor or from somebody else or from your peers, the way that they can speak into your life. So that's really cool that you had that to some degree with that environment.
It was really helpful. And then just the going to camp and having those people speak into my life.
So you're talking about you didn't really hear I love you a lot from your family. You did hear it from your boyfriend.
Probably
not authentic love.
So I didn't really know like what love was, and like my relationship with God wasn't great. Like I had a lot of misunderstandings. You know, I'd heard the gospel, but it just didn't really like sink in entirely. Like I needed more experience in my life to like really understand God's love for me. And, you know, with my upbringing, it did make it harder to understand that. I did understand God's power. Like I remember being really fearful of him and just like always feeling like I wasn't enough for him, or like I was always doing something wrong, or it wasn't the best relationship I had with him. So the love thing. So, and then I felt pressure to like say it back. Cause I was like, well, do I love him? Like what really is love? So I'd kind of like say it back to him, but always felt weird. So I broke up with him. And so I realized like once I broke up with him, I realized how damaging the relationship was for me. And I felt so free. Like it was crazy. Like just the switch. And I was just like, wow, like I just needed to do that to like really understand the situation. And so it felt really good to be boyfriend free. And so my senior year, I was boyfriend free. And but then my dad left. And so it was just me and my younger sister. And then my mom got this boyfriend. And he, it was like really fast. And he was actually an alcoholic, but thankfully he like stayed to himself. You know, it's kind of like a dud. But it was like weird having him around like in the house all of a sudden, you know? And I just felt like I needed to like protect my little sister. And so our relationship grew a lot that year. And actually it's pretty cool. Like 4 years later, she ended up accepting Jesus into her heart. And she had at the time, Chris and I, my husband and I were together, and she had us baptize her. So that was really cool.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
So that year was big for our relationship and leading up to her coming to know Christ. And so, so then I was like looking at where to go to school for college. You know, that was just something like I always wanted to do, was be able to continue my education. And, but I also wasn't like totally sure what I wanted to do exactly either. So I was looking at options, and this is actually kind of funny because I was considering going to Multnomah Bible College, and the other school I was considering going to was the culinary school in Portland, which is kind of funny because
you wanted to really dial in that lasagna.
Yeah, get it. I'm with you. If I were to go back to school for anything, it would be culinary arts.
Really?
That'd be super fun. Love it.
Yeah. But you know what's hilarious is I was watching a commercial that came up about the school, and that's what made me think of it. And they're like, call this number. And so I called it and the gal answers and she was like, oh, well, let me kind of get to know you a little bit and like what you like to make. And she was like, you know, so what's your favorite thing to make? And I was like, chocolate chip cookies.
That's a good answer, though. Can't go wrong.
Cause you know, I really like,
right.
I mean, I knew how to cook a little bit, but like, I really wasn't that experienced. And, so
did she just like click.
Yeah, she was just like, okay. And then it kind of like hit me. I was like, what am I doing? And then I was like, okay, well, you know, thanks for your time. Bye bye. And then I was like, okay, that's not where I'm supposed to go to school. Anyway, yeah, it was just funny. But the interesting thing is I found out later after meeting my husband at UOU, which is where I decided to go here in the Grand. And after meeting him, I found out that he also was considering going to culinary school, that same culinary school, really? And wow. Multnomah Bible College. Wow. And we both ended up at UOU. So
he was just ready to go wherever you were, it sounds like.
So that was really interesting. I was like, oh, we have another sign that we're meant to be together, you know?
Do you know what I hear her saying? Cookie competition.
Let's go. Let's go. I think I have had your chocolate chip cookies, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were delicious.
They're an Italian recipe.
Oh, okay.
What makes them Italian? What's an Italian chocolate chip cookie like?
They're just a family recipe. Oh,
okay. You're not ready to divulge.
The meatballs are in it.
It's got red sauce. It's like cookie with red sauce on it. And then,
yeah, I must try them.
I think you have had them, actually.
Oh, okay.
You would remember.
You don't come remember. On,
never cooking for you again.
No, I
don't remember anything.
I think it was a time that some students came over to clean up some stuff in your backyard or something, and you had some cookies for us.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have like a special seasoning, you know, that you guys can't know about.
It's
a
secret. It's sugar. No,
it's just more vanilla, actually. I love that. Less sugar, more vanilla.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you would so think more sugar.
So we are getting a little bit here.
All right.
Yeah. Information.
Yep. So anyway, you wind up at Eastern.
Yeah.
How did even that happen?
Right. So I know I came all the way from the West Side. Oh, I didn't say where I grew up.
Yeah. Where did you grow up?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of just assumed here, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I grew up in Monmouth, Oregon.
Shout out.
Yeah. It's kind of near Salem. What's where Western Oregon University is.
What's the mascot of your high school?
Panthers.
Shout out Panthers.
Yeah, Central High School.
Monmouth Panthers. There we go.
You know Sam's in the room because you get the sound effects.
So I'm kind of an adventurer, and I knew I wanted to just get out of the house, go somewhere, you know, kind of far away. I had considered going to like OSU or U of O, but they are such big schools. I don't know. I liked the smaller feel of the school. Yeah. And when I came over here, just everybody was so nice and welcoming, and I just got like a super good vibe. I'm pretty sure Tyler Dubsky was actually the one who gave me my tour.
It's very possible.
I'm pretty sure.
Shout out to Tyler Dubsky, who has listened to this. He listened to our music episode that we did, and he brought me a Mumford & Sons vinyl. Which was super awesome.
It was really cool looking.
Yeah, super cool.
That's so awesome. Yeah,
Tyler Dubsky.
Awesome. Yeah. And we're actually really good friends with him and Melanie and Bo.
Yeah, they're neat.
Super close friends, so that's cool. And then him and Melanie were part of the college group.
Mm-hmm.
That Chris and I went to at the time. So that was interesting. So yeah, I was just considering like what public schools I could go to, because I knew I could get help with paying for school if I went to a public school. So kind of narrowed down my options and was like, yeah, let's try it. And so I came over here and I didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of crazy. And I also remember my senior year of high school, I felt like my dad started to change a lot and we started to connect more on a deeper, intimate level.
Wow.
And we actually would like go out and play tennis together. I got really into tennis my junior and senior year of high school. And like, I just remember like my younger sister was in cross country. So her and I and my dad would like go for runs and we started to spend more time together. And so, and then he ended up taking me to school here, dropped me off. And I just remember as he was leaving, like just feeling super emotional. Cause I was like, I feel like we were finally like connecting more and like now he's gone. So that was really hard. And then I was just like, I don't know anybody. And
you move into the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in the new dorms or the older ones? Were they?
So at the time, it was right when they had built the new dorms. Like, I think they'd only been up for like a year. So I was in the new dorms, which they're really nice. So there's four of us. And then I shared a room with one other girl. And so, yeah, I started to get to know them. And before I'd left, I'd prayed for that I would just meet like Christian friends, because I felt like, you know, in high school, like I didn't have like a lot of really close friends. You know, there was a few that kind of my senior year, we connected a lot more and got closer. But anyway, that was a good thing to pray, because I was just like pretty much right away, just like bombarded with like a ton of really good, like solid people.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. And part of that was like, I started to put myself out there too. Like I got involved with some things. I started going to the college group at David and Sunshine's house, the time they were doing it in their home.
That's our former lead pastor. He used to lead college group as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, and it was like, it was really big at the time. And there's like a bunch of people, like, I just remember Chris and I actually met there, which was really cool. And there was a lot of other people that were like getting married around that same time that had met there. And so we were, the joke was kind of like, who was going to get married next kind of thing that was going to college group. So God was just doing something there with like marriages. Yeah. And so I met Chris, and it was really cool how we met. Cause I, before we met, I, you know, I was like happy to be boyfriend free. And I was just like, you know, God, the next guy I meet, like, can it just be my husband? Like, I don't want to do like,
yeah, like, no shenanigans.
Yeah. And that was another thing, another good thing to pray, because that's what happened. Like we met, and you know, I did have some hesitations at first, cause I was like, well, like, I feel like we're connecting, but I want to.
He's a pretty shady guy.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, when you meet him, like, you just get chills.
Yeah.
I said that just for you, Chris. Yeah. Love you, buddy.
Chills. Yeah, I get chills, but the good kind.
Oh, okay.
Multiply.
Tingles. Shivers. I lived with Chris for a while. Actually, that's where I met you.
Yeah.
Were you dating when?
Yeah.
When Chris and I moved in together at the boys' house?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. And so, yeah, I remember like hanging out at the guys' house a lot and just meeting all you cool guys. Like, you were there, Zach was there, Danny Hall was there.
Remember watching Futurama? Chris had all the Futuramas on DVD, and we'd watch those. Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah.
He's Iron Giant. Yeah, it's so good. And he had it on DVD, and I was like, did we just become best friends? Iron Giant. So good.
Yeah. That was an awesome time, like hanging out at the guy's house. And that was actually where I met Kara Thiessen, who's one of my best friends now. And we met playing Ultimate Twister. And so we were like in all these crazy positions, and like we were cracking up. And that was the best way to meet. And we were just best friends after that.
It just brings people together. Yeah. A twister.
Yeah.
But what's the difference between normal twister and ultimate twister?
The board is on fire and there's glass shards, and you play it on stairs. So,
and you have a designated guy that throws gas on it frequently.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's the guy who spins. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're spinning a chainsaw, whatever it lands on.
Wow. There's some minor tweaks, you know.
It's a little bit. It's an Eastern Oregon thing.
They changed one of the colors too.
Yeah. It was awesome. And like, yeah, there's guys around like throwing stuff on the game board. Yeah. And like, but yeah. And I remember like for Christmas, we decorated the walls with wrapping paper, and I was like all for it. I was just like going crazy decorating everything. And yeah,
those are some really good times. I remember Danny and I did it one night. So it was like in the middle of the night, we were just like, let's do it. And that scene from Elf where he decorates Santa's workshop,
happened
in Macy's or whatever. That's what happened in our home.
Yeah. Okay. So,
and then, yeah,
I'm there.
Then cool. We had some help. Mm-hmm. We had some help after that.
Yeah. So those were really joyful times. Like, I was just like so happy to have all these awesome friends and just be able to hang out. So I remember after I met Chris, like, you know, I was like, okay, is he the one for me, or like, should we at least date, you know? And God just made it really apparent. Like, we kept, like, that first week after we met, we just kept bumping into each other. I remember one of the times we bumped into each other. So the church here was doing the like college nights of worship. I can't remember what those were called, but
Sanctuary.
Yeah, sanctuary. And I got invited to go to that. And I didn't go with Chris. And then we like kind of saw each other there, and then we kind of went our separate ways. And then before we knew it, we're like right next to each other, and we ended up sitting by each other.
Chris.
Chills.
Well done, Chris. I see you. I see you, Chris.
Snaker.
He says
down the road.
Like I said, this guy creeps me out. The creeps.
No,
again, love you, Chris. Love you, Chris. Sorry.
It was pitch black. He couldn't see anything. Like, he told me he had no idea it was me. And yeah, that place was packed too. Like, there was all these crowds of people everywhere. Like, I was like, I don't know where he is. And then all of a sudden, yeah.
Again, those memories of packing the church. Good times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I also remember, so I've always loved the snow, but I never got a lot of snow living in Monmouth. And so that first winter that we met, there was just a ton of snow, and I was just like, oh, it's so beautiful. And I was just like in bliss. Mm-hmm. And then, but I didn't know what clothing to wear in the snow, you know, that kind of thing. And I remember some friends inviting me to go out to lunch, and then Chris ended up being there too. Mm-hmm. And we ended up like sitting across from each other again, like it just happened that way. And and then on the way out, like kind of just ended up leaving around the same time. So if you want to learn how to win a girl's heart, just be a gentleman and love Jesus.
I'm writing that down right now.
Because like when we were walking out the door, I like wasn't wearing the best shoes, and he was just all sweet. And he like gave me his arm and like walked me to my car. It was just like super sweet.
What a man.
And I think that was when he actually like stole my heart. I was just like, oh my gosh, like that was so sweet.
Yeah, good for you, Chris.
Man, he did to me last week when I was hitting my cars.
He's collecting hearts at this point. He stole my heart, too.
It's not that original, really. This is Chris.
I need to open the window again.
Incredible gentleman.
We are joking around because Chris is great. Chris, you're great. Chris.
He is an incredible gentleman and an awesome man of God. And you are 100% right, men out there. Yeah. You want to marry out of your league? Love Jesus. Yeah. That's what happens.
I love Chris. He is one of the boldest people for Christ that I know. You know, I've seen him from time to time just stand up in the middle of church. I got something to say.
Yeah.
And then he just drops a bomb.
Yeah. He's done that a few times. And knowing Chris, that's not like his go-to. He doesn't want a microphone in his hand, but when he has a word, he's going to speak it. And it's super cool. Yep.
Not a dry eye in the room when he's done. It's great.
Yeah, he's awesome. So he really did show me God's love. So that's how I started to learn God's love, was through Chris, and then through the other people God had put in my life as well. So that was awesome. And so, yeah, we realized we were supposed to be together right away. So we didn't date super long before we got engaged. And then it was like a year and a half later by the time we got married. So I was pretty young. I was 19 when we got married.
Wow.
Yeah, Chris was 23.
Yeah, you guys were planning your wedding at the boys' house. I remember you had a binder, and you were talking about all the plans that need to happen. And I was in my He-Man woman hater phase, where I was like, girls are gross. Get out of here, girls.
That's why you always gave me the stinky eye. Now it makes sense.
No, that's just how he looks.
Aaron came in with a binder. That's so Aaron.
Yeah.
That's the Aaron I know.
But it was so fun to come alongside you guys, because we helped set up and tear down your wedding and do some fun stuff for the ceremony. And it was really fun to come alongside you guys, because it was cool to see God work in your life, to see you two clearly be in love, but it not just be like an infatuation. It was like God given, and you were, you both had your eyes set on where Christ was leading you. And that was what made it super fun.
Oh, thanks, Karen. And you also decorated our car. Remember?
Yeah, I did decorate your car.
Our old Subaru.
Yeah.
86 Subaru wagon with.
Oh, man.
It said, "Let the Legos build the foundation of your marriage," written all over the car. And
wow. Chris, we had a Lego room up in the top, one of the top rooms of the house where Chris just built Legos. It was super just cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It was deep.
I'm getting weepy right
it's
now.
Deep.
Getting shells.
Wow. Yeah.
And Chris built vignettes, is what they call them, out of Lego. And there were mocks, my own creations. Mm. And it was a story of our relationship on our cake in tears. So there was like five of them.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Super cool. I remember that now.
He's super romantic in unique ways.
That's really cool. Love Chris.
Creepy.
I'm falling in love.
He literally made me a cake the other day. Not me.
Just kidding. This is when we met. That was just now.
Yep. Just one layer.
Just one layer.
No cake.
Two Lego pieces shaking hands. Like, that's us. That's it. Our whole relationship on this cake.
That's really cool. That's really creative.
Yeah. Yeah. He's super creative. I mean, that was one of the things about him that I really admired was his creativity. I would look at his photography and I was just always like amazed at his eye for detail and beauty. So.
Yeah. Sorry. We
derailed that one.
So you guys are getting married.
Right.
You're growing together, but also continuing to grow in the Lord. Where did life take you and how did you build that marriage on your relationship with Jesus?
So, yeah. So we got married and we were going to church together and, we both just, we wanted to like please the Lord, glorify the Lord. We wanted our relationship to reflect him. So we got plugged into a home group, and actually this is kind of cool. Candace and Mike Smith, who are on the team here. They were our first home group.
Shout out.
So they were a big influence in our life at the time, and they both were at our wedding, and Mike was our DJ.
That's cool. So,
and actually Chong was at our wedding too, but I don't know if you, what you think about that.
Do you remember that?
No.
He tells me he doesn't remember. It's so funny.
You would remember.
Sounds beautiful. Wow.
It was great.
Yeah. Zach was there. A lot of people from our church staff.
Yeah. Then the reception was at the park.
Yeah. It was at Pavilion. Riverside Park. Yeah. So Mike and Candace were, you know, a big part of our lives. You know, just awesome people from this church. And then I met, you know, how I said I met Kara. So her parents are Mark and Max Sean McDonald, who go to church here. And we just connect with them in such a deep way. You know, Maxine's so loving. Like, I just remember her coming up to me, just giving me like a big hug before I even like met her. And I was just like, whoa. You know, at first it was like, whoa, because I wasn't used to getting that kind of affection as a kid. And so it just felt so different. And so God has used her miraculously in my life. And she just took us under her wing. Like, she calls us her kids, and we do a lot with them. Yeah. They've been huge.
Yeah. Love Mark and Max.
Yeah. Just so many people have like poured into us and helped us with our walk. We also got plugged into a youth group at our church. We weren't the leaders, but we helped out for, it was like 3 years. Oh, and I was on the worship team at our church. I sang and then
occasionally rapped.
Yeah. I like to rap. But yeah, and then I was finishing up school. I still had like 2 or 3 years left when we got married. And so that was actually really hard to balance everything because I was doing so much. And like, you know me, I was like, I got to get good grades. You know, even though C's get degrees, like I got to get all A's, or you know what I mean? I was like really hard on myself still and was involved with a lot at the church. I also was working too. Like Candace and I actually worked at Heidi Ho together. So I was going to school full time. Yeah. Working there. And then I also was teaching voice lessons and yeah, it was like so much. And then that also was when the recession hit. And that really hit us hard. So Chris ended up losing his job and he was just really struggling finding work.
Was this the 2008 recession?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was just like struggling big time. So it didn't actually hit us until like 2010 11 when he lost his job. So the first year of our marriage actually was really good. You know, like we were still doing a lot and I was still going to school, you know, and like finances weren't awesome, but we were like kind of making it, you know, and that's kind of typical for our age and everything. You know, a lot of people say like the first year is the hardest, but like actually it wasn't for us. Like we were really happy and like things were going really good. And then, you know, just doing so much and then him losing his job, like just things got really hard and I was like stressed out to the max and just really overworked. And just trying to get by and finish school and like do a good job. And that like eventually I just like sort of like snapped. I was just like, okay, I can't like handle all this. And around that same time, I was still helping with the youth group. And this actually, I realized now that it actually was really hard at the time. Like I didn't realize the impact it had on me, but there was like an incident where one of the family members in the church like didn't like, so the our leader was a woman. And they didn't like that she was leading their son. Yeah. And so they brought that up And at the time, I was the only other girl on the team. So I felt like, oh, well, this shouldn't impact me as much because like I'm not the leader. But I felt really uncomfortable and like really unsupported after that. So like that was happening at the same time. And then our church was going through like a pastor transition as well. Mm-hmm. So there's just like a lot of change and it was like really tough. And there's just, you know, and then the stress at home. And then like Chris started having like some health issues. And so he was like, there's times where all of a sudden we have to go to the ER, you know, I'd have like a choir concert coming up and then I would have to leave and go to the ER or something to like help him. And so we were dealing with like health issues and, you know, obviously finances were like tanking. So I was like, okay, what are we going to do? So I had finished school. I had already finished school at that point. And so we were contemplating like, should we move, you know, to like Portland or something? Cause you know, he does a lot with like video work. And at that point we're like, well, maybe we just need to like try it and like give it a go and like see what might come of it, that kind of thing. So we ended up just like up and moving to Portland. And it was kind of like, looking back on it now, I think I also kind of used it as an escape because I, you know, growing up, like I said, I struggled with putting up boundaries. I was a people pleaser. I didn't know how to like stop and say no to things, you know, and like a lot of the things I was doing, I did enjoy, but it was like so much like I needed boundaries and I didn't have them. And so it was kind of an escape. So we moved to Portland and left everything, all of our friends. So that was super hard because we didn't really know anybody over there. But it didn't take us too long. Like we wanted to find a church. So we got plugged in to actually Mars Hill Church over there. And at the time they were still, you know, a church and everything. And Mark Driscoll was still the pastor and everything. So that was really cool. And we did get connected with a home group there and kind of made a few friends. But that was super hard again, because we didn't really have jobs lined out and it actually took longer than we expected to like find work. And I ended up just, you know, having some jobs that like I didn't really know for sure what I wanted to do at that point. Like what I thought I wanted to do ended up not really being what I thought.
Yeah, and what did you go to school for?
So I actually ended up graduating with a music degree and composition and voice. And it was like a teaching emphasis, but I kind of realized like I do enjoy teaching, but I wasn't quite sure if that was like the avenue I was supposed to go. Like I just felt like I was being led a different way. So I ended up just, you know, finding like a job over there and I actually ended up again with two jobs because like, yeah, it was just hard for like both of us to find work and you know, like we were trying and the rent is like crazy over there. Mm-hmm. So we're just like trying to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. So I just remember being like exhausted because like my hours were all over the place. You know, I would like get up super early and then get home really late. So I just remember like in the afternoon taking naps with my cat, like when in that short little window of time that I had. So there wasn't a lot about Portland that I really enjoyed, but I did make it into a community choir there that it's a community choir that's a part of Portland State University. Mm-hmm. And they're like a competitive community choir. So that was really cool. I loved that, but I didn't like get involved with the worship team and like my music started to kind of slack, like just, I was so tired that like, I just was unmotivated to continue that. So then I kind of mark moving to Portland as the start of 7 years in the desert is what I like to call it. It was our 7 years. And it's interesting that it was 7 years too, because that's kind of a biblical number. But we ended up moving. So including Portland, we moved seven times within 6 years.
Dang.
And five of those times were to different towns.
Wow. Darn.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I like was thinking back and I did the math and I was just like, wow.
Well, good thing moving is super easy and fun, right?
And I was not going to give up my piano.
Yeah, especially moving a piano.
We moved our piano every single time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just remember feeling like super confused and I had a lot of issues with like anger that started arising and like bitterness. And I started to struggle with like even jealousy and stuff because, you know, Chris and I, like when I was in Portland, I started to feel like I wanted to start a family and we both decided to wait because of our finances, our situation, all that. And so I was just like seeing my friends who were like in jobs that they're enjoying, like moving ahead, starting families, and we were moving backwards. And so it was just like super hard day after day to just have that thought in my head of like, okay, we're moving backwards. Like I started to kind of like lose hope. you know, there's times where I was just like, God, like, where are you? Like, you know my situation, you know what's going on. And we would pray, like, we would ask him, you know, what direction are we supposed to take? What are we supposed to pursue? Like, and then, you know, it just felt like he was silent a lot of the time. So I just remember just feeling like a lot of fear, anxiety, and that just continued throughout that time. And then I was really missing, you know, our friends in LeGrand and what we had established here. So God ended up bringing us back to Eastern Oregon, but it was Baker City.
Thank you for listening to part one of the Aaron Wuntz interview on the Barnabas Project. Tune in next week to hear part two.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to like and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com, lg4square.com, and you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless.